Revelation 14 and verse 13. And I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they, notice, may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Your works do follow you into heaven. I've had people to wonder whether they're leaving enough for their family when they leave this world. Some of them maybe have a will, just trying to make sure the loose ends are tied in order to protect their wife and family. And I thought about titling this message, Have You Made Your Will Out Yet? And I'm talking about from a spiritual perspective. Now, from a physical perspective, you know, we think about insurance policies. Somebody might make sure that there's enough money left to take care of your wife and to take care of your children. That's a normal thing. That's part of you leaving something behind. Maybe a will, sometimes that helps, or bonds, and things like that, that you want to make sure that you take care of those that you leave behind. I mean, it is normal to want to leave something for people that you love, right? It's something that you want to give to them in order to make them comfortable and be able to survive and to be able to get the things that they need. Now, hang on, I'm leading to something. But there are some things that, as I look at, have you made your will out yet, that I would like to leave behind when I die. And I hope that this will stir you up to want to agree and do the same things. Well, number one, I want to leave a good testimony. Now, I'm not talking about the testimony that one gives on Sunday. I'm not talking about the testimony that one would leave on a Wednesday night. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about a testimony that you could leave on Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday through Saturday. I'm talking about a testimony that you don't mind leaving behind for people after you're gone. I want to leave a good testimony in my community. You know what I was thinking about that as I was putting this message together? I don't want people to say, there's a Baptist that lives there on Jane Street. I don't want them to say there is just a Baptist living there. I want them to say a man of God lives there. And I believe you'd want the same thing for yourself. I don't want them to say this is just a run-of-the-mill preacher. I want them to say there was something different about Paul Dabdu, and this man loves the Word of God. I want them to say, that was a man that I could call on if I needed somebody to pray for me. And you ought to want to have that same testimony as well. And I believe most of you in here would. You ought to be able to say this morning, I hope that people can call me and say, I got enough confidence in you to ask you to pray for me. I want people to say, he's a man called to preach. Amen? I want that. I don't want to just hear he was just another Baptist preacher. I don't want to hear that. I want folks to say, after I leave this world, after I am buried, I want them to say that this man was God called. He was not another run-of-the-mill preacher, and he was a man that was called to preach the Word of God. I want an honest report when I die. Let me challenge you this morning. Pay your debts. Don't you be the kind of a person that takes advantage of people. You go and you buy something from somebody with the intention of not paying them. You may have an old grocery bill someplace. And you say, well, preacher, I forgot about it. No, you didn't. If you're saved by the grace of God, God's not going to let you forget it. And if you owe somebody, one of the worst testimonies that a person could have was to cheat people and not to pay their debts. If you owe somebody in this community something and you have not paid them, you go to that person this week and you make arrangements to pay that individual, because you are expected to do that as a born-again Christian. Don't you die and leave behind that you were a person that didn't pay your debts. People shout and they praise in the church, but many of them cuss and tell tales when they leave. I don't know about you, but I don't want that testimony. I want to leave a good testimony in the community. Why, you can come down this altar and you can sling nasal drip all you want, and you are not impressing anyone if you have a bad testimony. Some of you are going to like this, some of you may not. But I want to leave in my spiritual will, when I leave this world, that I had a good testimony in the community. How about you teenagers in here? What kind of will would you leave if you were to suddenly die? Well, I try to think back. If I was still a teenager, I'd like to leave a good testimony in the schoolhouse. Amen? I wonder how they will remember you when you die. I mean, if you were to die today as a teenager, what would they remember about you? Would they say that that person was just one like we were, all he did was tell dirty jokes? Or would they say about you that you were pure and that you had a good testimony and that you loved the Lord Jesus Christ and that you were not ashamed of the Word of God? Boy, that would be a good testimony to leave as a teenager. I would like to see you teenage girls in here to say, if you were to leave this world this week and somebody wanted to take advantage of you while you were alive, I would like to hear that you told that fella, my body was reserved for my husband. And that'd be a pretty good testimony to leave church. That'd be the kind of testimony that would be great for a teenager to leave when they leave this world. Amen? Now, son, you're going to have to sit down. All right? And that's enough walking around and playing. Now, the testimony of an adult is important, or the testimony of a teenager is important. What kind of testimony would you leave if you were to leave this world? Well, something else. How about on the job? Let me talk to you men here for just a moment. What kind of testimony do you have on the job right now? What do they think about you? I'm not talking about the testimony you have in this church. You can fool us. I'm not talking about the testimony that you give if you were to give a testimony here before this congregation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the testimony that you will leave when you go to work on Monday. Would you be able to say, would they be able to say about you that he left an old, worn-out, greasy testimony, a testament there, that is? Would they be able to say about you that you had a Bible, that every day during the break maybe you took a little time to read the Word of God? I am trying to say that we're living in a time when people forget that their testimony that they leave behind is going to be important. How about when you tear into that sandwich, that bologna sandwich or that ham sandwich on the job? Will they be able to say, my brother there, that brother there said a prayer right before he ate his sandwich? Or would they say about you, his language was just like ours? Not much shouting grounds on this message, huh? I am trying to say the testimony that you leave behind on the job is very, very important. So I challenge you, what will you leave behind? What's in your will? What's in your spiritual will on the job? What did you leave for them people? What if you died today and your funeral was given? What would they remember about you? That you cursed? That you told dirty jokes around them? that you looked at dirty magazines around them and you made off-color jokes about sex and things like that. I am trying to say what testimony you have in this room needs to be better or the same or no different on the job. How about this one? What kind of testimony will you leave at home? I hope my wife, even though I'm not perfect, but she'll say, I know this man loved me. I hope she'll say that. I want her to be able to say, he may not have been perfect, but my husband I know loved me. And that ought to be the desire of every man in here that's married. You don't want your wife to say, well, I can tell you how he was. All he did was curse me out. Every time he lost his temper, and he didn't even have to lose his temper for anything, he would complain, he would gripe, and all he did was curse me out. Boy, that would be some testimony to leave behind. I have three children that are grown. And I hope they can say something good about their dad. It's important to me what my wife thinks, what my children think, what my family thinks. What kind of testimony would you have at home, man? What kind of testimony would you have at home, ladies? That you stood with your man? That you loved him? Or would he say, she gave me nothing but trouble? All she did was gripe. All she did was complain. Boy, that would be some testimony. Some of you look awfully nervous this morning. And I might as well buckle up your seatbelt. I've not even touched it yet. Amen. I'm trying to say, what's in your will? What's in your spiritual will that you're going to leave behind? I'm trying to give you something this morning. I call it a heavenly steak with some heavenly Worcestershire sauce. Trying to give you something that you can chew into, that you can take home with you, that'll change your life. What's in your will? What are you going to leave behind? I'd like to leave out some old worn out Bibles. There's some of you in here, you have a Bible you've had for 20 years. You know what you got in it? Preacher, I want to show you my four-leaf clover. Oh, come over here and look at this. Here's a piece of a locket of Junior's hair when he was a child. I'm trying to tell you something. I hope the testimony is that you got a worn-out Bible. A Bible that doesn't have the pages stuck together. I'm talking about I'd like to leave some worn-out Bibles. Let me have your Bible for 3 minutes, and I'll tell you what kind of Christian you are. Let me just look at it for about 3 minutes, and I'll tell you whether you've been in that book. I'll find out if the pages are stuck together. I'll find out if it's all raveled up. I'll find out if you've been reading that book. Ladies and gentlemen, the average Christian has a Bible, but they hardly ever pick it up, and they hardly ever read that book. If someone were to pick up your Bible 10 years after you die, what would they say about that Bible? Would they know that you read the Word of God 10 years from now? Would that be the testimony that you leave? Would that be in your will? Would they say, I know my grandfather. I know my daddy. He got into the Word, I can tell by looking at his Bible. Or would they say, he was a spiritual moron. Don't call me moron. Moron, moron, moron. Amen? People just flat will not think the Word of God is that important. And I'm going to tell you something. I hope you leave a worn-out Bible. I want to do that. You ought to come sometime and look at my Bibles. I got one that's torn. I'm talking about one I've had to cut just to get to fit in the back in the case, you know. And I've got some that's missing the first few pages. I'm trying to say, this book that I have right here, I'm not bragging. I didn't want a new one. So what did Lori do? She went and had it recovered because It's just hard to change swords, isn't it? Amen? Now, some of you in there, you say, I don't like what you're preaching. That's all right. Get on the train. It's going to help you. You can either agree with what I'm preaching or you can get mad, but either way, it's going to help you if you get what I'm talking about. One day, it's going to matter. One day, you're going to die. One day, the preacher is going to get up and preach your service. And what will matter is what in your will. What are you going to leave behind? What about the Bible that you have? And I'm talking about the old King James Bible. Amen? I hope to goodness that in your will, we won't see an old NIV or American Standard or something like that. I hope in your will that you have the infallible, perfect Word of God, but better than that, you read that thing. Some of you wouldn't matter whether it was NIV or American Standard Version because you wouldn't read that if you had it. And you're sure not going to read the King James Bible. Something else I'd like to leave in my will. I want to leave a faithful attendance. Not one that's off and on. Not a person that's here sometimes and gone sometimes. I don't want that kind of testimony left behind. Somebody said, well, preacher, we heard there's a gospel group down there at that other church. I think we'll go there. You're a sorry specimen of a Christian. You know that? Sorry. You're crippled too high for crutches. Get that one. Think about it. Your brain's on vacation. That bunch that will desert the house of God will never get the work of God done. You say, I don't care for the local church. Shut up. I love the church. Amen? Don't open your trap to me. I love the church. Get your head up. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. Look at me. Because I can look at you when I'm preaching this. I don't have to put my head down when I'm preaching. What I'm telling you is so. It's the truth. Amen. And I'm trying to say there's some of you in this room, in your will, would be a sorry, faithful record. Off and on. Sometimes you're in, sometimes you're out. Unfaithful to your church. You know, as I was thinking about this, I'm privileged to have my mother and dad here. Mother's sick today. Dad's over here. But if Mama was here, you look at my dad, he is a full-blooded Syrian. My mother, if she was here, is Scotch, Irish, and English. Dad's dark-complected. My mother's light-complected. You say, preacher, what does that make you? A half-breed. But you've heard me say this before. I'll say it again. I'm a full-blooded child of God. Amen? Woo, glory. You know something? People claim to love the church. They won't back it. They're not faithful to it. Something else. People claim to love this country of ours. Then they curse it out. Let me tell you something. I was proud this morning for Trey Grieco being here. We honored him because he's a specimen of a man that's proud of his country. He didn't mind if he had to sacrifice his life for this country. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't curse this country out to me. America may have her flaws. But I want you to know it is the greatest country that a man and a woman and a teenager can live in. I wouldn't want Trey Grieco to think we thought less of our country for him to go to Iraq and be willing to sacrifice his life for us. We got a great country. It's worth defending. It is worth standing with. And the church is worth standing with. Be faithful to the church that God has given you. I love our church. I love Ridge Memorial Baptist Church, and I've stuck with you all these years. And I would like to think that you have the same kind of love where you're not in and out, half in, half out. Love your church. Back it. Gonna have a revival here soon. One of my biggest fears of having a revival in our church is folks not supporting it. That's one reason why I hadn't had one. Because I know if I ain't trust you to do that. I don't like that kind of preaching. Shut up, I like it.
Amen.
I'm telling you the truth. I don't know who in here will be here every night. But you said you're going to back it and you're going to support it. And I'm depending on you to be here every night. Every service that we have, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that's five services if you can take it. It won't kill you. Unless you're sick, unless you're forced to work, unless you're providentially hindered, you have no excuse. Love your church enough to be faithful to it. I want to leave a good tithing record in my will. You say, well, Brother Paul, I send my tithe to Oral Roberts. I send my tithe to Benny Hinn or to Joel Osteen. Next time you get sick, you call one of those birds. Next time you go into hospital, next time you're scared you might die, call them. See if they'll come to your rescue. See if you'll even get to talk with them. At least when you give your tithe where it belongs to the local New Testament church, and some of you don't tithe, skinflint. You don't believe in giving to your church. You don't believe it's worth it. But yet, you'd come quicker to sending your tithe to some other ministry and think that's equal with God. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't. God has a local New Testament church for you. And this church operates on the tithes and offering of the people. I don't want to go asking Brother Robert personal questions about who gives or what. So if the shoe fits, put it on. Learn, appreciate your local New Testament church that God has given you. Amen. It's worth it when you give it to him. But don't send your tithe to Benny Hinn. You think he can help you when you're sick? I tell you who can help you. You get sick, you call Brother Paul, and I'll get some of the men in here who will be out there, and we'll pray for you, and we'll make sure you get your, we'll try to reach God for you. Something else I want to leave in my will. I kind of changed this up a little bit as a happy devil. A happy devil. You know something? When I die, I can just imagine the demons. Woo! Woo! And all of a sudden, Daddy Devil comes out of hell and says, what's all the commotion about? Woo! Have you heard? Paul Dabdu's dead. And the devil will say, woo! He won't kick me around no more. You know what I want every time I get in the pulpit? I want the devil to want an Alka-Seltzer. I want the devil to say, give me a tongue to chew on. Because I know Dabdu is going to kick me around. But the day that I die, the day that I take my last breath, I want the devil to say, woo, Dabdu's gone. And one day that's going to come true. It'll be in the papers. Paul Oscar Dabdu, the pastor of Ridge Memorial Baptist Church, is gone. You know something? There's some of you in this room The devil don't even know you're around. When your name is mentioned to the devil, he says, so what? That person is no threat to me. I want him to have a stomach trouble when I preach. I want him to tremble when I get up here like I am this morning and expose that dirty rascal. Amen. I'm trying to say, I want to leave this in my will. Leave a happy devil behind. Now, I'm almost finished. This is new. There are some things I don't want to leave behind. Number one, I don't want to leave a question in anybody's mind as to where I'm going. I'm saved. Your pastor is born again. He's not perfect, but he's saved. And if I happen to die while I'm your pastor and they have me laid out, and I told the Lord, if I happen to die while I'm your pastor, I want to be laid out in this church. And when I'm laying here and you come around and you say your last words or you look at me, I don't want any question in anybody's mind as to where I've gone. Your pastor will be in glory. I want that in my will, that he was saved. Your pastor was a saved man. I don't want you to ever doubt that. I want that. I want that in my will. No doubt where I'm at. And if you're in this room and you're not saved, I want you to know you ought to want the same thing. Number two, any slander I've said about anybody, I don't want that. And if I've said something about you, I'll be willing to bow and ask you to forgive me. I don't want that. I don't want that in my will that I've slandered somebody. I don't. I don't go around talking about you. I don't try to hurt you. All I try to do is love you. Even if I disagree with you, I don't try to ruin you. I don't try to hurt you. I don't want to slander anybody. And if you think I have, you come and tell me, and I'll apologize to you. I don't want that in my will. I don't want anything in my will that says slanderer. And thirdly, I don't want to leave behind one soul I could have won. I've had people say since I go and preach revivals usually in the spring and fall that I wouldn't go to those little churches. They don't know those little churches have barn burner revivals. Aren't that right? Brother Daniel knows that. Those little churches, they have those fireball type of revivals. And I'm hoping that's what our church has here. I think it's not a waste of my time. I've been to some big ones, but I like those little churches. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't want folks to think that one soul means more than another. Every soul is important. If you're in this room and you've never been saved, I want you to know you're worth it. You're here. We love you. We don't want you to go to hell. And this pastor doesn't want you to go to hell. We want you to come up and get saved. What's in your will? What will you leave behind in your will? You say, preacher, I wanted something sweet this morning. Well, last week you got the sweet one. Once in a while, God gives me something to try to stir your heart. I love you. That's why I preach like I do. You think after 17 years it's easy to preach like this? No, it's not. As you stay longer with people, you rather preach something sweet, make them feel good, you know, and that way you know when you walk out here, you love me, and boy, I feel good about it. A sermon like this, tell what you're made out of. See how real you are. See how much you really want the truth, how much you want old-fashioned preaching. So if you're in this room and you've never been saved, I want you to get saved. That's part of the ministry here. If you are saved, you say, preacher, my will is something to be desired. I want to get some of these things you talked about, leave them behind for people if I were to die suddenly. Think about that and you come, all right? Our Heavenly Father.